Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
The park near my house is plagued by urban legends. Most of them are local legends, and the nature of those legends would vary depending on who you ask. I moved here a little over a year ago with my then fiance, now wife, Megan. She and I both worked from home, and we moved right in the middle of the COVID lockdowns, so we didn't have much reason to go out and explore our new hometown. We were really quick to make friends with our neighbors. The day after my wife and I moved in with our dog, Kaya, and 3 cats, we got a ring on our doorbell, and we opened it to the sight of 2 women, both in their 60s. They were our next door neighbour, Sandy, and across the street neighbour, May. One had made us homemade jams, and the other made a homemade pie. I love pie, so this was the perfect way to welcome us to the neighbourhood. The neighbours across the street have a gorgeous patio space, and they said they wanted to have a welcome party for us, so we could get to know the neighbours around us. Needless to say, we fell in love with these people. In a platonic sense, of course. I think the neighbours were extra excited about having my wife and I move in because, at the time we bought this house, we were newly engaged and planning our wedding and talking about having kids. A fresh young family. All our neighbours are elderly, and their own kids have lives of their own in distant places, so they were looking forward to having some babies nearby to watch grow up and spoil, since they couldn't do it to their own grandkids. Honestly, it's sweet. Over the following year after moving in, we would have gatherings and parties with our neighbours and their friends at least once every couple of weeks. They might have become like family, and we couldn't be more thankful for their guidance once the lockdowns lifted. May and her husband, Fred, have lived here the longest. They know all the places to go for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dancing, music, movies, hiking, picnics, you name it. However, even still, most of the time when my wife and I decided we need some time out of our house, we just go right across the street to spend time on the gorgeous patio with May and Fred, invite over Sandy and her husband Dale, and we just talk. About 4 months after moving in, we got a second dog, a Great Dane puppy that we named Appa. Points to all my culture people who get the reference. He was 6 weeks old when we got him, and now he's about 10 months old and 135 pounds of pure mischief. He took up a ton of our time to make sure he was trained. A dog this big without good training can and will break everything you own, including your spirit. So, there was a period of time where we weren't spending as much time with our neighbours, or anyone, or doing anything. At least, until we had the confidence in Appa and Kaya to not cause too much chaos, which now we do. So, recently, the itch to explore our small city has really become more intense for my wife and I. So, we have made it a point to go to one new place in our city every Saturday. Most of them have been places that May and Fred have suggested, and they've been right about all of them. When we told them we were looking for a park to take our dogs to, and that we had seen one with a trail that led through the woods about 2 minutes' drive from the house, they told us no, quite adamantly. My wife and I were both really surprised by the force with which May had tried to shut down the idea. We sat in silence, wondering what we may have said to offend her, but she spoke up to explain before we could overthink it. "Look, that park is beautiful. Before they built the highway behind our property, we could walk there through the woods, We loved it. She trailed off, but Fred picked up where she left off. It's fine to go there if you stay next to the baseball fields, but don't go on the trails or into the trees. The park is connected to 75 acres of woods, and when I was working as a criminal investigator, I used to get called out there all the time. Fred and May were not glum people. If they weren't talking with a smile, they were listening with one. But right now, they seemed almost disturbed, and Fred explained why. I'm retired, but we aren't a large city. I still sometimes get asked to come out there and look at a body. More dead people have been found out in those trees than any other park, trail, or nature reserve in the next four counties combined. My curiosity was absolutely piqued. Back in California, my hometown saw a rash of suicides in a single park in one summer. Three of them happened in just a couple of months. They all hung themselves in the trees at the park. Is it something like that? Fred shook his head. No, that's not it. One of them was about 20 to 30 years ago, but of all of the bodies I've seen laying out there, coroner always determines something else killed those people. Thing is, we never caught what it was. After the fifth body, people began spreading rumors and it became a local legend. But over the past 30 years, we've had exactly 59 bodies found in the trees near the trails. May and Fred took turns telling us about the different stories people came up with. Some said the park was haunted by ghosts of a serial killer. Others say they oh so common, it was built in an old Indian burial ground thing. The most prevalent story is that there is a monster living in the woods. My wife and I are not superstitious, didn't believe in the supernatural, until we decided to go anyway. We both needed out of the house this past week. It had been a couple of months at this point since May and Fred told us the story about the horrible evil park of doom. We grabbed a blanket and decided to hang out within view of the baseball fields. It was a beautiful day. It was 68 degrees and sunny, and in the early morning, it felt good to lay out on the grass near the fields and get the even mixture of warm sunlight on our skin and a cool breeze to refresh us. However, as is prone to happen in East Texas, the sun quickly began to get too hot and the breeze began to get too humid. My wife and I still weren't ready to go home, so we opted to move into the shade, just a little ways into the line of trees that separated the baseball fields from the playground and tennis courts. Still, nowhere near the trail toward the very back of the park. We would have to cross through the tennis court, another parking lot, and around some gazebos with picnic tables to get to the trails. We did, and we continued to enjoy the scenery of the park. There was a small creek about 30 feet from us now that flowed out of the woods and into the small pond near the edge of the baseball fields. Between the mottled rays of sun, broken up by the shade, and the soft sounds of flowing water, my wife and I found ultimate relaxation. But not before my wife said, "You look good today, and this lighting is awesome. Let me get a picture of you real quick." Now, I don't like having my picture taken. I always feel awkward. But my wife insisted that I looked good, and I was honestly feeling pretty good. So I agreed. "Do me a favor though. I don't want to be the whole focus of the picture, so get me in there, but do a panorama so we see a lot of the park too." She smiled and took my phone from me and opened up the camera. I went and stood by a tree and let her do her thing. Once the picture was taken, we set the blanket back down and laid back down. We had chosen to leave the dogs at home. Megan was in need of a stress-free time, and even though the dogs would have loved the park, we wanted to just be able to close our eyes and chill, and not worry about either of them wandering off or eating something they aren't supposed to. It was a good choice overall, because it instantly put Megan and I in a better mood. I rested my head on her stomach, and she used it as a way to prop up a book. She read, and I began to slowly drift into daydreams. After a minute, I opened my eyes and realized how heavy they became. But I figured it wouldn't hurt to take a quick nap. So I let myself drift off until I heard a distant call of the name. "Appa!" My eyes shot open. Not just because of the name I heard called, but because I recognized the voice that called it. My voice. Just as soon as my eyes had opened, my wife had pulled a book away from my head and looked at me. "Was that you?" Megan asked. "No, but I heard it too." I lifted my head and looked around, but there was no one else around. There were a couple of cars, but I couldn't tell from this distance if there was anyone in them. At least until one began to pull out of its parking space and head toward where the park exited onto the highway. Maybe it was them. They might just have a dog named Appa too. They were probably trying to get him in the car to go. Probably, but they sounded so much like you. I wonder if they're as cute. I chuckled. My wife was flirting, which meant she wanted a kiss. I leaned up to give her one before I rest my head back on her stomach and close my eyes for only a split second. "Kaya!" my voice yelled. It still sounded just as far, but this time, angry. I sat straight up and my wife closed the book. "Okay, what the hell?" I said to my wife. "This can't be a coincidence." She put a book into a purse and stood up, and I sprung to my feet and began to look around. Again, I couldn't see anyone. The cars that had been in the parking lot by the tennis courts had all left, which meant that there was nobody between us and the trails. I got this nagging feeling that if there was a killer out in those woods, they likely felt a little more emboldened to come further out of the trees now that there was nobody else in the parking lot between us and the woods. As mentioned before, this is East Texas, and we aren't a big city. It's mostly rural, which means it is a safe bet that most people are carrying a gun. I am no exception to that rule. I put my phone back into my pocket and used my thumb to feel for the gun, but I didn't lift my shirt to show it, and I certainly didn't draw it. I just made sure it was there, in case I needed it. "It's time to go," I told my wife as I knelt down to grab a purse and handed it to her. Luckily for us, we parked near the baseball fields, so we were able to head in the opposite direction that my voice was coming from. I kept looking over my shoulder, and though I never saw anything, I could swear I heard the rhythmic sound of snapping twigs following us out of the trees. It stopped once we reached the grass clearing, and we heard nothing once we began walking across the pavement of the parking lot. We got in the car and drove home, and I was so thankful to hear my dogs excitedly barking when I began to unlock the front door. My wife and I both stepped in and checked them out. Nothing was out of the ordinary. Nothing in the house seemed out of place. Everything was as we had left it. We were able to relax a little more over the next several minutes. We began to speculate together about what the hell happened, but we didn't really come up with any answers that made any sort of sense. The logical explanation was that it was someone we knew messing with us, someone who knew our dogs' names, and just happened to spot us in the park and thought it would be funny to play a prank on us. But that didn't explain how their voice sounded exactly like mine. I didn't really get an answer until this morning, when I started flipping through my phone and looking at the pictures we took this past weekend. I take a lot of pictures of my wife and dogs, but I stopped when I got to the panorama my wife took of me in the park. I thought it was an uncommonly good picture of me, where I looked less awkward than I usually do in photos. I zoomed in on my face and considered posting it to Facebook. But then, I began looking at the rest of the photo where I was still zoomed in, and my heart began to pound when I got a closer look at something between the trees. I am not a twin.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.